kicking off a brand new series. It's entitled Called to Serve. And you probably see people all around this place with these nice little tags hanging around, these lanyards that says, "How can I help?" That's because they have responded to the call to serve. Why do we serve? Well, Mark 10:45 says this. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man," he's speaking of himself, "did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Acts 20:35 says this, "In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, where he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Every believer is called to serve. God has a special place for you in the body of Christ. We talked about that for 4 weeks, a place to belong. We are all members of the body of Christ. Once we surrender our life to Jesus, we ask him to forgive us of our sins. The Bible says he puts his spirit inside of us, and he instantly baptizes us into the community of faith by the Spirit. And because the Spirit is in us, then it says we are connected in the body. And the illustration is this: he is the head and we are the members of the body. And in that body, Jesus has picked a special place just for you. And he wants you to be able to be connected, receiving life. But a big part of our place in the body is a place to serve others and to give away what's been given to us. Freely you've received, Jesus said, now freely give. So every one of us are called to serve, but we need to have God's perspective on our service. Even though Jesus served others endlessly, he always served himself first. Some of you are like, "What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense to me. That almost sounds heretical." No, listen to me. Meaning this: Jesus always took time to be filled up before he poured himself out. Think about it. Even on the week and the night in which he was betrayed at the Last Supper, he left there, and where did he go? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Jesus was not able to go to that cross unless he had first been filled and refilled with the presence of the Spirit so that he could go and serve the way God had called him to serve. And church, we are no different. First, you must seek God and be filled. And then once you're filled, you can overflow. Have you ever seen a burned out Christian? They're those people who, when you walk in the door and everybody else is greeting and hugging and saying hi and how you doing, you say to this person, they've been a Christian for 50 years and they've been serving the Lord. And you say, "How you doing?" They go, "Blessed. How are you?" I mean, they're burned out, man. They're fried up. They're not making anybody feel good about being here. You know why? You know why? Because they somehow in the journey got burned out. They had the wick burning at both ends. They forgot the simple principle that Jesus absolutely modeled for us. Early in the morning, the Bible says, Jesus would go away and pray and seek the Lord. The Bible literally says, Jesus says to his disciples, "I only do what I see my Father doing." What does that mean? He had a relationship with God, and God would direct his steps, and he would tell him every morning the assignments he had for him that day. How many of us are following that pattern? Let me ask it this way. How many of you ever felt, don't raise your hand, it might be embarrassing. How many of you have ever felt burned out in Christian service? How many of you ever said, those people up at the church, they just want me to do another thing and one more thing, I'm going to kill somebody. If they ask me for one more dollar, if they ask me for one more hour, I'm telling you, I can't do it anymore. Now, none of y'all have ever felt that way. I have. I know exactly how that feels. And you know what? Many times as the crowds were pressing in on Jesus, he'd just walk away. I mean, can you imagine a preacher today walking away from a crowd who was asking him to speak. I can't say. That is funny. Can you not? Y'all don't know anything about preachers, do you? Can you imagine that? Jesus was not feeding off the crowd. He was there to feed the crowd. Think about just in modern Christian history, how many big name Christian leaders have fallen into sin. Do you know what I believe happened to them? They were legitimate men of God, but they forgot to be filled. They began to feed off of the attention, feed off of the crowd. Because I'm telling you, if you've ever decided to step over into ministry, man, it is an electric experience. When you're up here praying for somebody and the power of God starts flowing through your body, it is an addictive, amazing, powerful experience. People love it. I'm telling you, God showed us in the Word, He can even use a donkey. I mean, if you volunteer to serve, God will put His anointing on you and you will be able to experience the life flow through you. But if you never understand what Jesus understood, that you must retreat away from the crowd, that same thing that exhilarates you will fry you up, burn you out, and you'll either become one of those people who show up to church like this, or you just quit showing up at all. Because you've tried to respond to the call to give. You've tried to respond to what Jesus said, I'm here to serve. But you must understand, even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, could not give unless He had first been given to. Church, if we can learn this principle, the possibility of how we can affect our community is endless. When I was a kid, growing up in O'Donnell, Texas, there was a gas station that had two lanes. Some of y'all may be old enough to remember this kind of gas station. One of them said full service, and one of them said self-service. I always wanted to go to the full service lane, but my dad was a penny pincher. See, full service cost more than self-service back in the day. But if you went to the full service line, they would wash your window for you. They would fill up your car with gas. They'd check the oil, check the tire pressure, and send you on your way. Man, it was a good deal. But I personally never got to experience it. Because that's where I learned to wash the window. It wasn't self-service for Dad. It was son service, okay? Get out there, wash the window, boy. Fill up the gas, check the oil, check the tires. That's what we're here for. And do it double time. Let's go, let's go, let's go. I always wanted to go full service so somebody could do it for me. But you know what? Self-service isn't all that bad. Here's the big idea for today. There's power in serving yourself. As Christians, we hear this all the time. And we can even hear parents say this to their children, right? It's not all about you, little Johnny. And that's true. It's not all about you. And we try to motivate people that way and say, hey, quit thinking about yourself and go serve the Lord. But if you miss the element that first, it is all about you. See, Jesus didn't save you to put you to work. Jesus didn't save you because He needs your money. Jesus didn't save you because He needs your strong gifts in His kingdom. No, He saved you because He loves you. He just called you to Himself. He said, come to Me, My children. Let Me baptize you in My love. Let Me forgive you of your sins. Let Me adopt you into My family. And then as we grow and mature in that place of security and identity, then He says, son, daughter, come join Me in the family business. Let's go save the world. But He can't use you unless you've learned who you are first. Even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, did not serve until He had been served by the Father. There is a place waiting for you every morning. There's a place waiting for you every evening where the Spirit of the living God is calling you. Come away with Me. Come and let Me fill you, My child, with My love and My identity for you, My acceptance and My care and concern. And then I can send you out because you're not running on empty. You're overflowing with love and joy. And the world around us, church, is waiting for a people like that. Can't you hear the cries of the broken? Can't you see the plight of those who have not yet met Jesus? I see them every day. I hear them when I pray. The people need us to serve them, but we can't serve them if we've not first connected with the Him, the one and only God of the universe. Let me give you a couple of examples if you don't believe me. You're not a very good lifeguard if you don't know how to swim. What am I trying to say? Don't jump in the water to save someone who's drowning if you yourself don't know how to swim. Why? Because you'll both die, right? Have you ever been on an airplane and most of us quit listening, but the people who serve on the airplane always go through this routine of telling you how to use the oxygen mask and here's where the exits are and all this stuff, right? You know what they always say? Adults, put your oxygen on first before you help your children. Why? Because if you're out of air, you certainly can't help them. Here's how I would say it. You have to take care of yourself first before you can help others. It's called being a healthy person. Let's think about the day you were born. You cried when you were hungry. You cried when you wet yourself. You cried when your mother dropped you off at the nursery and you learned to cry simply to get attention. But on the other hand, your mother rejoiced the day you learned to feed yourself. And your mother and father rejoiced the day you learned to go to the bathroom by yourself. And on and on and on. Why? Because we raise our children not to be dependent upon us, to spoon feed them everything in life. I want them to grow. You know, then they grow up and they even check themselves in at Kid City and say, see you later, Mom, I'm on my own. It's called growth. It's called maturity. But you know, a lot of times in the church, we hear people say stuff like this, I'm just not getting fed spiritually anymore at church. Or they say stuff like this, I'm just not growing like I used to at church. And I want to tell you the truth this morning. People start feeling this way because they need to start feeding themselves. Why? So when you show up to church on Sunday morning, you're already full so that you can give away what you have received from God. What if all the members of this church came to Sunday morning not to receive a word from God, not to receive the anointing of God? They've already been in the presence of God. They've received the anointing. You're walking in here going, I got my crosshairs out. I'm looking for somebody to bless this morning. What if church turned into that instead of, I'm just barely making it through the week, Pastor. Would you spoon feed me a little bit of God's word? I don't mean to offend anybody. I've been in that place myself. But having learned that I can go to prayer, I can go to worship, I can get into the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit speak to my heart, then I don't become a consumer anymore. I become a contributor. You know, we live in a consumer-driven society, right? Well, that church just isn't meeting my needs anymore. You know, after all, I do pay for that. I put an offering in the bucket. And they're just not meeting me the way they used to. You know, in fact, I'm tired of all these guests showing up because the pastor and the staff are all kissing and hugging on the new people. And I'm just over here being left out. I think I'm going to try me another church because I'm not getting a real good value for what I'm putting in here. That's a consumer's mentality. You realize that it's pervaded the church. And so now we have church hoppers. Well, I felt real good there for about 6 weeks, but the news wearing off, I'm going to go try the other one. Guys, that's not what church is about. And hear me today, I'm not after anybody. We've all sat in the place of the consumer. we've just wanted somebody to pour into us. Look, there's somebody who wants to pour into you. His name is Jehovah Jireh, God Almighty, Adonai. He wants to meet with you every morning. And you're looking for somebody else to pour into you? Come on, church, let's grow up. Let's grow into the place where we know God and we're known by God and that we have more than enough to give away. There's over 17,000 lost people in Hale County alone. Can't you hear them crying out? Church, I need your help. I need you not to consume this word anymore, but to take it in and give it to me because I'm a broken, hurting, lonely, lost person right here in Plainview, Texas. I have no idea where I am in my notes. I believe God's design is right. It is natural for you to think about yourself first and even to serve yourself first. We see the example in Christ. Until you are secure in your relationship with God and learning how to receive from God personally, you'll never be able to serve others to the maximum capacity that God has called you to serve in this world. Just as a child must mature and begin to take care of themselves, we too must grow and begin to serve ourselves in healthy ways. Only then do we begin to understand what Jesus really meant when he said it's better to serve than to be served, because he was saying that from a place of being full to overflowing with what had been received by him personally. See, God doesn't expect you to go and lay your life down as a sacrifice and just to be consumed in ministry. He wants to fill you so that when you give it away, you can be refilled again and give it away. Jesus died on the cross, church. You don't have to. We just get to go and share that good news with the world. Yes, there's suffering in the church. Yes, there's persecution. Yes, there's hardship and trial. But there's joy and peace in the midst of all those things because we have the benefit of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. What if we became those people who were so full that we were able to give away? Man, what an impact we would have in our culture. Matthew 22, verse 36, the disciples came asking Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? You're fully aware of this. You're very familiar with it. It's a teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend the whole law and prophets. The first command is easy. God is first. God is supreme. We surrender our lives to God. But the second is the lost commandment in Scripture. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. It could be said like this. Love yourself so that you can love your neighbor. If you hate yourself, you'll hate those around you. If you're critical of yourself, you'll be critical of those around you. If you struggle to feel like you're significant, you will nitpick the people around you. It's basic human behavior. Love yourself so that you can love your neighbor. It is the lost commandment in Scripture. Jesus says there's two commands, but if you're an astute listener, you know there's an intrinsic third command in there. Love your neighbor, how? Say it with me, as yourself. Ask yourself today, church, do you love you? When you look in the mirror, are you happy with what you see? I would venture to say at least 50% of the people in this room don't even want to contemplate that question. Because you have so many self-loathing negative thoughts. And some of them may just be surface. I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny. But even deeper than that, you despise your thought processes, your bad habits, your propensity to do this or that. Church, Jesus wants to replace those thoughts with his love and his acceptance. Love yourself so you can love your neighbor. The truth is this, God intended for us to serve ourselves in a proper way. How in the world can you truly love others if you don't love yourself? If you don't love the you that God created inside of you. He created that you to bring glory to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You know, people with poor self-esteem haven't understood the value that God has put upon them. When you received Jesus Christ, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Guess what I'm going to tell you? There's a booklet we have here at church. It's called Who I Am in Christ. They're free for the taking on the back table at the Connection Center. You should take one of these. It begins with, I am highly esteemed. I am God's child. I'm forgiven of all my sins. I'm free from condemnation. I'm a new creature. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Church, do you know who you are? Can't you see that meditating on scriptures like this becomes a way of serving yourself? There's power in serving yourself, church. Let's be honest today. There is a ton of work that needs to be done right here in this church if we're going to accomplish what God's called us to accomplish. But we've always said this, and I've always appreciated it, and it's still true today. You are more important than the work you do. Look at that. You are more important than the work you do. God doesn't need your work. He wants your heart. Did you know God could save the world without you? Did you know God could send his Spirit and he could evangelize the whole world without any one of us? But he has chosen us. It is a privilege. I'm telling you, the day I recognize God didn't get lucky when he got me on his team, that I am the one who lucked out, I'm the one who's blessed because he chose me to partner with him. That changes your perspective, church. Lots of work to be done, but you're more important than the work you do. We care about you being healthy and full of life. And when that happens, serving just comes naturally. We all want to serve others when we're full of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you all need a dose of the Holy Ghost every day? Multiple times a day. You need to withdraw from the crowd and say, Lord, fill me again. My coworkers are driving me insane. Oh, I didn't say that, did I? I work at the church office. God, fill me so I can extend your love in this next interaction. My favorite time away is from the office to the house. This especially when my kids were young. Come on, Dad, you know what this is like. By the time you get there, Mom is frazzled. Kids are out of control. And I've worked all day long. Nobody there appreciates what I've been doing all day. So I withdraw in the car and say, God, help me be a husband that you called me to be. God, help me be the father that you want me to be. Fill me for my family, for your kingdom right now. I mean, I can't tell you how many driveway withdrawal moments I had. Get away from the crowd. Lord, fill me because I'm fixing to bust through that door. Help me not ask when supper's going to be ready. Help me change a diaper. Help me do the laundry. Lord, help me. See, this is real life stuff. Okay, we're done. Y'all stand up. I got three questions to end this service with. Josh, I'm sorry I sprung it on you, but he'll be here soon. We're going to close this message and we're going to go home happy because God's called us to himself before he's called us to serve. Let's ask ourselves these questions. When do I withdraw and hear the Lord? Come on, think with me, church. When do I withdraw by myself as a responsible adult believer? Or do I wait for someone else to spoon feed me the word, to pray for me? Listen, we all will need someone to speak God's word to us. We all need to be prayed for, but we all need to seek God personally. When do I withdraw? When do I seek God? What changes do I need to make? What is the one thing I can do today to make me more healthy in my spiritual walk tomorrow? I know I've said this three times already, but church, listen to me. When I pray, God lets me hear the cries of the broken people in this city. And I want to tell you, it's overwhelming to me at times. There's times I want to not withdraw but run away because I sense they're waiting for us. The Bible says creation itself groans, waiting for the sons and daughters to step up and take their position in the earth. God is calling this church to go beyond selfishness and to serve. But before you can serve, you're going to have to become self-aware. You're going to have to answer these questions. When do I seek God so I can be full, so I can give? We can't escape our mission, making disciples who make his way known. That's who we are. We're here to help people grow. But somewhere in the journey, we go from needing to be fed to helping to feed the new baby Christians, to helping them grow to where they can feed themselves and then they can reach out to other people. There is a calling on this church to no longer sit in the seat of the consumer, but to sit in the seat of the giver. Lord, anoint us today to break the yokes of self-centeredness. God, that we would no longer look at church as just something to feed me and to give to me. But Lord, would you allow us to step into a new level of maturity where we can join you in your work. Lord, not that we're neglecting ourselves. We come to you and know that you will always fill us and refresh us and renew us. But God, you want to fill us so we can give, so we can bless. Change our minds and hearts today. In Jesus' name. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come right now. I believe that some of us today really struggle with loving ourselves. Come on, stay with me for just a minute. Many of us here have negative self-talk. Can't look in that mirror without thinking something negative. If that's you, you come now and let one of these people pray for you. God wants to deliver you from those voices of negativity. He wants to free you from even demonic torment that keeps you thinking negatively about yourself. God has called you to a new place. Let him free you today. And then there's another group of people in here. I believe God is just calling you away. I can hear the Spirit saying, come away with me. Come away with me. Let me refresh you so that I can fill you and send you back to give and to serve. If that's you this morning, as soon as we start singing this song, you just come and receive prayer because God wants to meet you here. I love you guys. I hope that you can experience everything that we've talked about, how Jesus would sneak away. I hope you'll experience that this week. I hope you'll make plans to find the Father in your life this week. God bless you.